Poetry Rocks Tool 9, The List. And the purpose is to expand on what you've learned about furniture as a necessary content ingredient and to keep practicing weaving specific sensory details into your work. As with Tools 7 and 8, The List can be used in any genre to strengthen your writing. You'll also get to practice one of what I find the most enjoyable poetic forms, the list poem, which is sometimes called the catalog poem. And that kind of poem, the list or catalog, goes back thousands of years. Two classic examples are the lists of Trojan war heroes in Homer's Iliad, and also the lists of family lineage in the Bible. We sometimes think of those as the begats. One of the most famous list poems of all time, written between 1759 and 1763, is an excerpt of Christopher Smart's long poem, Jubilate Agno, entitled, For I Will Consider My Cat Jeffrey. And the great American poet Walt Whitman is famous for the lists and catalogs that appear in his book, Leaves of Grass. So here's what to do. You're going to write a poem that's completely made up of or includes one or more lists of related items, people, places, or ideas. So number one, choose a subject you'll enjoy playing with. I've seen beautiful poems written on subjects as varied as the items in a husband's woodshop, the gifts of an ordinary day, the objects depicted on a handkerchief in an exhibit at a Holocaust museum. The choices really are endless. So once you have your subject, number two, you're going to create one or more lists having to do with your subject. For example, in one of the poems I share below, I picked the subject Southern Spring, and I chose to make three lists. I listed things that were in blossom, I listed weeds, and I listed insects. And in the other poem I'm sharing, which is a riff off of another poem, I listed items I considered necessities, and I made subsets of that. And of course, the original poem I'm riffing off of was called Necessities. It's perfect also to pick a subject and make just one list, as in the examples I listed above. So now you have a subject, and you have one or more lists, and it's time to number three, turn your lists into a poem, paying special attention to the order and arrangement of the items. Think about what you could add that would elevate your poem to more than a simple list. You can check out how I do this in the poems below, and you may also want to revisit Marilyn Crystal's list poem, Saying Things, to see how she pulls it off. And you'll also notice that there are a number of other list poems woven throughout these tools. It really is just a classic kind of a poem to write. And even in poems that aren't mostly a list, you'll see lists of things in poems and also in other kinds of prose. And the thing about list poems, it may seem that the lists are just dumped on the page just naturally or that they're random, but this is seldom the case. There's a real art to the process, including focus on sound and rhythm, which we'll explore soon. And you want to be sure the last item in your list is a strong one that offers a sense of completion and really ends your poem well. So, as I told you, I'm going to give you two list poems so that you can just see, just get a little bit of a sense as I talk about this vast subject of the different kinds of ways they can be assembled. And the first one I'm going to share with you, Southern Spring, is actually the first list poem I ever wrote. I was taking a poetry class a long time ago, and this was an assignment, and I just really could not think about what to write a list poem about. And I couldn't help but notice, since I grew up in Erie, Pennsylvania, where we use words like lake effect weather and wind chill factor, and where our springs are really hard won, that down here in the South, where I live in North Carolina, things just bloom very profusely without the hard work of winter. And as I looked around me at all this pulsing life, I realized that was a wonderful subject that I would enjoy playing with for a list poem. And I had a great time looking up bugs and weeds in my thesaurus and choosing them and arranging them in a way that pleased my ear because of the repeating sounds and because of the rhythm. And I have to share, the most fun I've ever had at poetry reading of mine was watching the hands of an interpreter for the deaf as I read my poem and she interpreted it for listeners at Charlotte Mecklenburg's main library. So here it is, Southern Spring. While the Calgary winter holds, you arrive too soon. I'm not ready for the bridal wreath spirea to burst its seed pearls against the proud forsythia, for the poppy-seeded pear blossoms, for the pollen that shimmers in the air. Wait, I want to say to the ropes of wisteria, readying their war on my blueberry bushes. I'm not ready for you, for the daffodils, backs broken from their bent search, for their own trumpeting reflections, for the fecund soil to spawn its beggar's tick, chickweed, milkweed, pokeweed, pigweed, crazyweed, fireweed, dandelion. Wait, I say, wait. Whatever hyacinth bulbs are to do in the frozen earth, mine haven't done. I'm not ready to rejoice in swollen creeks. They're rushing in lush counterpoint to couplings of birds. Can't you wait until winter ices out, the weak resolves, until bleakness tempers metal? Until the tumblebug, potato bug, stink bug, sow bug, louse, locust, lacewing larvae suffer a long, hard frost. Until the first hint of fuzz on a fisted bud is enough. Now, my second list poem is called Add My Necessities to Your List, and it began as a leapfrog in response to poet Liesl Mueller's beautiful list poem, Necessities. And I loved exploring the idea of my own necessities. And Mueller's categories were a map of the world, the illusion of progress, answers to questions, evidence that we matter, and the old things first things, which serves as another example of how distinctive and original the subjects of lists and catalog poems can be. So here's Add My Necessities to Your List for Liesl Mueller. 1. Contours. Mountaintops and valleys for their own sakes. Glinting riverbeds. Winding roads that lead to the inviting, unknown places. Woods to hide in. To get lost in. Like Hansel and Gretel, and find our way out of, proving to ourselves our hearts know true north. 2. Oceans. To run alongside of, to show us blue-gray-green backlit by sun, to drop treasures at our feet. Streams, so we will know how peace sounds. Cold well water worth working a rusty pump handle for. A memory of an early morning lake that took our breath away when we plunged. 3. Fruit. The first wild strawberry, fresh from the sun. The last, gleaming in a mason jar from the fruit cellar. Sweetness as reward for struggle. Nourishment after battling dry weather, hailstorms, the odds, love, passion, apples ripening on trees in children's picture books. 4. Words, thick books, dialects, endearments murmured in foreign accents between kisses on windy hillsides, poems with their slant rhymes, rhythms, babies' babbles, pure desire for words. 5. Kin. Children who hum when they build block roadways. Husbands and fathers who whistle. Grandmothers. Oh, Liesl Mueller, the grandmother I never had. May I adopt you to mark my map as I make my way toward that cliff you have defeated with the contours of your oceans, the fruit of your words. And here's a reflection. Have you noticed that a list poem almost always focuses on things we experience through our bodies rather than ideas that we experience through our minds? How does it feel to you to approach a poem in this way? What can you take away from this exercise about the relationship between ideas and things?